Exodus 32, beginning with the 23rd verse. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For is this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? We wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. When Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. What a question to ask in the face of blatant idol worship and spiritual rebellion. Who is on the Lord's side? It's the title of my message tonight, and I want you to pray that the Lord Jesus would have His way. My God, I come before Your presence knowing that You have a plan for this service. God, and I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon these lips of clay. I pray for Your direction in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, that tonight, God, some decisions would be made, a stand would be taken, and God, I give You all of the praise and all of the glory and honor in the glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody said praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. You may be seated. Who is on the Lord's side? Moses had been on Mount Sinai, and he came down with the tablets of stone that God had written commandments on. When he saw that the people of Israel were involved in worshiping a golden calf, he threw the tablets to the ground. They broke into several pieces. And then Moses decided, hey, we've vacillated too long. We're going to have to make a decision. Who is on the Lord's side? I know we all came out of Egypt together, and I recognize we've been walking, marching together for a long time, but I think we need to draw a line. None of this half in, half out, none of this, I don't know, I'm trying to make up my mind, but he said, I want to know who's on the Lord's side. And with things happening in our generation, I believe that the question is pertinent. I believe that it's necessary that we ask ourselves, am I on God's side? Am I one of the number that is faithful to the cause of Christ? Moses called them out, and there was a banner that was displayed, sort of as if there was an enlistment taking place. Any volunteers that feel the need to be involved in the cause of Christ tonight? Are there any who are willing to say, I'm going to support the cause of God? I'm going to oppose idolatry and idolaters. I'm going to set myself as one of them. I want to be counted as a follower of the Lord. Amen. There are two interests in this world. There's no in between. We're either against God or we're for Him. We're either for wickedness or we're for righteousness. There is no neutrality. There is no place that you can find where you're neither for God or for the devil. You're either for Jesus Christ or you're for Satan. There is no in between. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need to have the spirit and the attitude of Jehu. Jehu had been anointed by the prophet of God, and then he went to Jezreel. And he had a battle there. He slew the one who was opposing him. And when Jezebel heard about it, the Bible says she painted her eyes, she fixed her hair, and she stuck her head out the window and taunted Jehu. All right, you killed your master. Jehu said, I'm glad that you stuck your head out the window. because you're the next one I need to take care of. And he called up and he said, hey, who's on my side? And there she is, that Queen Jezebel. And two or three eunuchs said, we are. What courage that must have taken. They knew that this woman was a barbarian. This woman was against anything that was right. Friend, when you look at what Jezebel represented and what she did, it'll make your skin crawl. This woman was a monster. But sitting up there in that building with her were some men who said, I think this has gone way too far. I think she's had her way for too long. And when Jehu came in on the wings of victory, and he looked up there, and there was Jezebel with her eyes painted up trying to maybe beguile him with her attractiveness. He said, anybody on my side? Yeah, we are. Throw her out. There are some things, if you're going to be on the Lord's side, that you're going to have to throw out. Amen. There is no way that Jezebel can live if you're on the Lord's side. Amen. Praise God. When they threw Jezebel out, the Bible says it must have been a tall window, because when she hit, the blood splattered. Jehu went on and had a meal. And then he said, wait a minute, she's a king's daughter. So what we ought to do is we ought to make sure they give her a proper burial. They went out to find her body, but while that they had been inside eating, the jackals had come, and they had eaten everything but her hands and her feet and her skull. Jehu had done what all of us need to do. That which opposes the cause of Christ, that which stands in the way of my surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, I need to violently lay my hands on it in a prayer closet somewhere. I need to identify it. I need to say, look, I'm going to go with God. I'm going to live for the Lord. And so there's no way that this can stay in my life. I am discarding it right now. When Moses called for those who want to be on the Lord's side, he said, if you want to be on the Lord's side, then consecrate yourselves. Separate yourselves. Get on board. Don't put one foot in the world and one foot in the church. That's a horrible, frustrating way to live. But come on board. Put both feet in the kingdom of God. Put both feet in the service of the King. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Who is on the Lord's side? Amen. Who's on the Lord's side? Anybody here want to be on the Lord's side tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Friend, when you don't know whose side you're on, it's so hard to live. Thought about when I was putting this message together that sometimes we're sort of like the man who played, I think it was for Rice University. They called him wrong way. What was his name? Oh, my brain just failed me. Brother Holly used to say, I'm going to sue it for non-support. Just when I need it. Anyway, this guy had, he called a pass or a fumble or something. And he starts running for the goal. The crowd is cheering, he thinks. The hometown crowd is saying, turn around, turn around. He's going the wrong way. He ended up scoring a goal or a touchdown. He went the wrong way and ended up in the wrong end zone. Some of us are going the wrong way with all our might. We're just so enthused. But hey, we need to be on the Lord's side and make sure that we're going the right way. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Moses looked at Aaron and he said, I want to know what this golden calf is doing here. And Aaron said, man, I'd like to know too. He said, I just asked him to take the gold and earrings off and bring it to me. And he said, we put it in this big pot and all of a sudden this gold calf just emerges. Beats me, Moses. You know, brother, I don't know. You know, hey, you figure this one out. The fact of the matter is, Aaron knew what he was doing. Aaron felt that things were getting away from him. And so rather than call the people to Jehovah and their loyalty and faithfulness to him, the easy way out was to just say, okay, let's just have a religion. It don't really make any difference what it is, just so that we have a religion. And so he picked up on Egypt's religion, and they had this gold calf that was there, and they were worshiping this golden calf. Hey, friend, I know that there are people today who are saying it doesn't make any difference what you believe, just as long as you believe. I don't find that philosophy in the Word of God. Jesus said plainly, if you're not for me, you're against me. When I hear what Jesus taught, friend, those are the words that I need to attach my heart to. I need to make sure that I follow quickly his commands. When Jesus said, repent or perish, if I'm a sinner, I need to repent. None of this shaking hands, none of this signing a card, none of this flashing headlights. I need to repent or perish. Amen. And repentance may be an old-fashioned message, but repentance is a Bible message. It's on the Lord's side. When men and women and young people can confess their sins and say to God, I was wrong, forgive me. They're on the Lord's side. You hear me? They're on the Lord's side. Old-fashioned repentance is not outdated. It may be old-fashioned, but it's also modern. We need repentance tonight, just like they needed it in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, he told his disciples to preach repentance. When the early church started its first message, it was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said it. John said it. The disciples said it. And Acts 2:38, the Apostle Peter said, repent, repent, repent. I was driving. It was late Friday night, so I had a radio station on out of Houston trying to keep me awake. And there was this Christian bishop. I don't know what brand he was or what flavor. But he said, he's written a book, by the way. And it's called Why Christianity Must Change or Die. And in his book, he talks about why we need to get away from preaching about the negatives of Christianity. And one of the negatives of Christianity is the blood of Calvary in his book. When I read this book, it tells me that the blood that Jesus Christ shed is the only remedy for the sins of mankind. When I read what's said in this book, it tells me that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only way that I have the ability to come into the presence of my Heavenly Father and request of Him those things that I need to make heaven my home. We can't be saved without the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Thank God for Calvary. It isn't a negative. It's a positive. It's because of Calvary that I can choose to tell the devil, get out of my life. It's because of Calvary that I can bring my sins to an altar and repent, and he forgives me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's not a negative. Friend, when Jesus Christ died, He took my place. That's not a negative. That's a positive, because He took on my enemy. He took on the one that was waiting for me. He took on the one that was waiting to defeat me and to seal my doom for an eternity. Hey, you know what Jesus did? He turned death. It's not a dead end street anymore. It's a door for the Christian to go into the presence of God for eternity. That's not a negative. That's a positive. But Bishop, whatever his name is, calls himself a Christian. I say he is not for Christ. He is against Christ. And so by the test of the Scriptures, he may call himself a Christian, but he is far, far from it. You see, what we're challenged by and what the world is trying to intimidate us with is for us to release some of the truth that is in God's Word and to say, well, listen, that's too divisive. That's too divisive. I believe tonight that we need to understand what it means to be divisive. You see, Moses was saying, come on, you that are on the Lord's side, I want you to divide from them. I want you to come away from them. Indeed, there are times when the gospel of Jesus Christ will draw a line of division between activities, between friends, between family members. But friend, there has to be a decision made tonight in all of our hearts. I will follow the cause of Christ. I will involve myself in the service of the Lord. I am on the Lord's side. Praise God. Anybody here tonight on the Lord's side? Hallelujah. No wonder that Joshua had to stand before Israel, because mankind has had to deal with this attitude for generations. Joshua had to stand before Israel now that they were in Canaan's land, and he had to say, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Choose you. There has to be a choice made, which means you're going to say no to some things and you're going to say yes to some things. Choose how you're going to approach it. Choose what is detrimental to the goal for your life. Hey, there is no way that a person who wants to go to heaven should entertain themselves with sin or sinfulness. There is no place in our lives for wickedness and for the things of the world. Jesus told us, and we need to consecrate ourselves unto Him. He said, no man can serve two masters. It's time that we decide this cause is worth my total devotion. This way is worth my total commitment. Not half of me, not when I got spare time, but I'm talking about day in, day out, 24 hours a day, committed to following the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you'll hate one and you'll love the other. You're going to hold to one and you'll despise the other. What I'm saying tonight is we need to be right in the center of what the Holy Ghost is doing in the final hours of this dispensation. And we need to let go of our failures, and we need to let go of the world, and we need to hold on to the cause of Christ, and we need to hold on to the unchanging Word of God. Praise God, praise God. It's time to be militant, not milk toast, half-hearted people.
Right.
I don't know. I'll listen to that on the tape. I don't know what it's... Paul said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't join yourself in the same activities with unbelievers. they're not going the same way you're going, I hope. He said, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What are you doing, Paul said? What are you doing? How can you say that you're going to participate in the things that those who are unbelievers participate in? Seems like recently I've preached so much on holiness that somebody's going to think it's kind of planned that way. I'm just trying to follow the leading of the Spirit, church. I really am convinced that if this church is going to do and be what God expects it to do and be, there's going to be some choices made. There's going to be some choices made. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And friend, it's not once you get put your name on the dotted line and get on board that you... Well, you know, that was Sunday, preacher. What we need is somebody who'll say, today and tomorrow and next week and next year, I may fall, I may not do what everything I'm supposed to do, but I'm telling you what, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to find me a place to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me, and I'm going to get right back up and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. There's nothing that hell can do when a Christian makes up their mind that I am going to follow Christ. All the demons of hell are incapable of stopping your onward march when you make up your mind. I am apostolic to the core. I am Christian. Whatever that I want to do, I'm going to let it glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. What the world is waiting on is for the church to be the church. What the world is waiting on is the Christian to be the Christian. Lift our hands and love the Lord. My God, I thank you. I thank you. Direct us by the Holy Ghost for this service, Jesus. God, instill within us a desire, a burning desire, a consuming fire. Oh, God, help us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He went on to say, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Amen. One of the things Brother Becton said Tuesday during the orientation message, ordination message, he read the biography of Dolly Parton. He was mainly interested in Dolly's past. Dolly was raised in a holiness home. She said, in our home, no makeup. In our home, no women wearing pants. 12 kids. But that was the way that Dad said it. And that's the way it was going to be. There, of course, was no going to honky-tonks. And there was no going to the movies. Sounds like what we preach around here. One person said, well, if y'all don't do that, what do y'all do? I'm kind of wondering the same thing. If you don't live for God, what do you do?
Amen.
Well, I watch the movies. Or I do this. Or I... Man, what a boring life. Somebody else has got to do your living for you. I'd rather do my own, thank you. You sit there as a spectator and become a couch potato. All right, Brother Posey. He put some stuff in me that I hope I never lose. He said it a long time ago. He said, I will wear out, but I'm not going to rust out. And that's the way I feel about it. I'm sure not going to sit there and become a couch potato watching as the world turns. Or whatever else. But Dolly said this. She said there was a movie that came into town, and that movie had been filmed in Tennessee. It was sort of a documentary. The name of it was Thunder Row. And the star was Robert Mitchum. I'm not going to ask you, do you remember? But some of you are looking at me like, yeah. And so her dad figured, it's about Tennessee. It's kind of a documentary. You know what it was? Don't tell me. Let me tell you. Since Brother Becton shared all this, it is actually about, if I can remember, bootleggers. And so Dolly said, Dad came in and he said, we're going to the movies. And she said, oh boy, we're going to the movies. Everybody was so excited. All the kids got ready. Mom and Dad got ready. And man, hey, Rach, it's good to see you. I'm so glad you're here tonight. God bless Sister Rachel. All the kids got ready. Mom and Dad sat down. They bought their tickets. They went into the movie house and they sat down. And Dolly said, up until that point, my dad was my hero. She said, I couldn't even enjoy the movie thinking that I'd lost my hero. Well, they'd always came in and said, Dad, let's go to the movies. Everybody else does it, Daddy. Everybody else does it. Daddy, you're so hard on us. Daddy, you're so unreasonable. And then when he cratered, she lost her hero. Church, don't let your family lose a hero. Take a courageous stand against sin. Take a courageous stand against wickedness. But Brother Hunt, you don't understand. All of their friends and all of our neighbors and all of our community is involved in that type of living. Friend, I know that. I've been there. Somewhere, though, they've got to hear a strong voice, not just from the pulpit, but they've got to have somebody in their life that says, honey, we're a Christian. And honey, because of that, I'm not going to let you go. Amen. You're mean, Daddy. You're mean, Mama. There'll be a day they'll thank God for you. They'll thank God you didn't crater. They'll thank God. Well, Brother Hunt, I've already done it. Then back up. Make a statement. Say, honey, what we did, we ought not to have done. You won't be smaller in their eyes. You'll grow. They'll respect you. But when you take a stand for what you know is right, you're saving the souls of the next generation. You're preserving a walk with Jesus Christ. Praise God. They ought to be able to tell whose side we're on. I'm telling you, they ought to be able to tell whose side we're on. When the church looks like the world, evidently the church ain't the church anymore. When it looks like Jezebel, it's on Jezebel's side, if you so please. Oh, come on, preacher. You're so far out tonight. Hey, friend, I have an unction. I am so possessed with the Spirit of God. We can't crater now. We're too close to the finish line. Some of us, Brother Posey mentioned, saw a lot of gray heads in here. He's talking about y'all. I'm gaining on you though. But when you came in, tell me what you heard preached. Tell me why you quit going where you used to go. Tell me why you quit talking like you used to talk. Tell me why there was a change that happened in your life. I'll tell you why. Because somebody stepped behind the sacred desk and they opened the beautiful Word of God and they began to preach. And you began to feel conviction. And you began to feel the strength of God giving you the power to walk right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I think there ought to be a difference in the appearance of Christians from the world. Praise God. Whether it be male or female, they should not dress in a way to seduce the opposite sex. And that includes low-cut blouses. That includes tight clothing, whether it's a man or a woman. And hey, men, some of you ought to button some buttons on your shirt. Amen. Ow. Ooh. Ee. Do I believe there's going to be a holiness church when Jesus Christ comes again? Yes. I believe there must be a holiness church when Jesus Christ comes back. I believe that we can't be confused. I don't think we're going to get by with just simply holding on to a few things. I believe it's coming back for a church that's without spot and without blemish and without wrinkle. A chaste virgin is the bride that Jesus is coming back for. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe you can tell Christians by the way they look. Amen. Amen. I believe you can tell Christians by the way they talk. In Judges 12, Jephthah had called the men of Gilead to fight. The Gileadites had gone and fought the Ammonites and they had defeated them. Jephthah then was challenged by the Ephraimites. And they said, you Gileadites are renegades from Ephraim and Manasseh. You see, Jephthah and the Gileadites were a part of the tribe of Manasseh. And when they had won this battle, but before they won the battle, Jephthah had sent out an invitation. He said, I need some help. Come on, somebody help me. And he sent out the call to these Ephraimites. And the Ephraimites didn't answer the call. And so here comes Jephthah, and they win the battle. And the Ephraimites are mad. They say, you didn't call us. You didn't want us to help you. Why'd you leave us out? You think you're better than we are. You're nothing but renegades. Now, folks, think with me. The Ephraimites and Jephthah's clan, Manasseh, trace it back a little ways, the brothers. Ephraim and Manasseh were the two sons of Joseph that were blessed and became tribes. But even though they were brothers, the Ephraimites became incensed, possessed with jealousy. And every time that the tribe of Manasseh had been used by God, these Ephraimites came along and they were so upset. When the Ephraimites came against Jephthah, here's what they did. They said, "You're renegades." And then Jephthah said, "Okay, I've had enough. You came, you got your sword drawn, you got your fist up, let's fight." And so the Ephraimites, the tribe of Manasseh led by Jephthah, they overcame the Ephraimites and they possessed the fords that go into Jordan River. In other words, the passageways. And so since they had defeated the Ephraimites were running for their lives, they would come to River Jordan and there they would meet up with Jephthah's army. And Jephthah had told his army, he said, "When they come, I want you to ask them, are you an Ephraimite? If they are, running through." "Well, wait a minute. We kind of look alike." He said, "Ask them to say Shibboleth. Because the Ephraimites can't pronounce Shibboleth. They can't pronounce the H. So it would be Sibboleth." And the Ephraimites... Now, y'all, you just hang on, okay? Don't leave me. I'm laying some groundwork here. And when the Ephraimites came, they stopped them. And they said, "Are you an Ephraimite?" And they would say, "Not me. I'm one of you." "Say Shibboleth." And they couldn't say it. Try as they may, they couldn't say it. Thousands upon thousands of Ephraimites were slain. They were killed. They were defeated. 42,000 were killed because they couldn't talk. Jesus told me that I would be judged by my conversation. By my words, I would be judged. Now, you think that it doesn't really mean a lot what comes out your mouth. But there is no place for curse words coming out the mouth of a Christian. There is no excuse for a string of vulgarity to come from the lips of a child of God. "I can't help it." Oh yeah, you can. If you'll find your place and ask God to put the right words in you and ask God to help you to overcome that horrible spirit of worldliness. My, we need some self-discipline. Praise God. Praise God. I said earlier, that wasn't the first time. You remember when Gideon took his clan and they defeated the enemy? You know what? The Ephraimites came along and they said, "Hey, Gideon, why didn't you let us go to battle with you?" And he had done the same thing that Jephthah had done. He had said, "Come on, let's fight. Come on, help us win the battle." And the Ephraimites just sat there. But then when Gideon won and when Jephthah won, they came around and they said, "Man, ain't this great? I'm one of you. I didn't see your sword." And the Ephraimites became jealous of the tribe of Manasseh. Now some of you may disagree with me here. But I believe that there was a spirit passed on from generation to generation. It showed up with Gideon and it showed up with Jephthah. I believe that there were some heads of households in the Ephraimite tribe that leaned toward being envious and jealous. And so instead of saying, "Hey, give me a high five. Hey, man, I'm so thankful you won the victory. Ain't that great?" Come on, do that again. Stand up and do it. Come on. "Hey, I'm glad you won the victory. I'm so proud of you. I'm behind you. I'm one of your brothers. I'm on your side. Me and you, we're on God's side. Ain't this great? Praise God. Nobody knows who I am. They know who you are. Man, ain't that great? I'm so glad it happened. I'm so thrilled it happened. I'm so glad." Instead of this, "I ain't nothing but a hypocrite. Christians don't find fault. Christians build up. They don't tear down. Christians talk right. The words that come out of their mouths are words of edification, not words of fault finding and problems and jealousy and envy. It's sort of like, hey, I'm so thankful that my sister was blessed and I'm so glad that this is happening for them. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that great? It's all right. Somebody say praise the Lord. It's okay. It ain't a trap. Praise God. I'm telling you, Christians talk right. Christians talk about victory. Christians talk about revival. Christians talk about soul winning. Christians talk about the Word of God. Christians talk about prayer meetings. Christians talk about rejoicing in the Lord. You can tell when you pick up the phone whether there's a Christian on the other end of the line or not. I'm about finished. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side, you walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. They that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but they that sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The conversation of a Christian. Do I have the words right? You hear me? Do I have my conversation right? Because if we're going to have God's blessings and the anointing of God, I believe it starts right here at home. If we're going to expect the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, I believe we're going to have the presence of the fruit of the Spirit. We've got so many people chasing the gifts, and we've got too many people that don't have the fruit. We need the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Is this all right to preach this way? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. In just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to come and pray. I'm going to invite you to come to an altar. But before you come, I want you to make up your mind that I'm going to choose to be on the Lord's side. Whose side are you on? Come on, who do you defend? What do you stand for? What do you pursue? What are your goals? A Christian learns to give liberally. You can tell if he's a Christian by the way he gives. The world and our flesh is so selfish that we hold back and we say, this is mine. I earned it. I did it. It's my time. Must I remind us again that the very breath that you just pulled into your lungs was a gift from God? And how shall we say that I can't give God time? Hallelujah! Don't have time to pray. Don't have time to read the Bible. Don't have time to witness. Don't even have time to go to church. Let us go back to what I just said. Friend, there is nothing that is in your life that's good that God didn't give you. Hey, the way to tell a Christian is if they love unity in the body of Christ, if they're disposed toward division, if they're sowing swords of divisions, cords of division, seeds of division. They're not Christian. They're not on the Lord's side. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. Come on now. If they're Christian, Brother Martin, they're going to love holiness. Why? Because God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Amen. Somebody say holiness. Holiness isn't outdated. Hey, friend, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Amen. Amen. Our world's telling us that we've got to look like a Jezebel to be beautiful. But the Bible says there's beauty in holiness. Amen. There is a beauty when you're not living for vanity. There is a beautiful spirit. Christian is going to seek a place to pray. They're going to devote time to prayer rather than play, work, etc. Brother Hunt, I've got to work. I've got to make a living. Jesus said it. Seek ye first. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. If He takes care of lilies in the field, sparrows in trees, He can take care of His prized jewel, the apple of His eye. Strong medicine tonight, but I believe it's time. Whose side are you on? There's going to be a love for the truth in the heart of a Christian, not a lukewarm approach to the gospel. Love the gospel. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Are you ashamed of the gospel? When Peter stood on the day of Pentecost, he gave us the message of salvation for the New Testament church until the end of this age. And that was before there was a Pentecostal church, a Baptist church, a Lutheran church, a Catholic church, an Episcopalian church, a Unitarian church, or whatever other. It was before. If you want to find out really what the Word of God demands of us for salvation, you'll find it right at the beginning of the church. And Peter said it very plainly. No confusion here. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did He testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And when Peter preached that message, 3,000 souls said, that's what I want to do. I'm choosing to be on the Lord's side. Would you stand tonight and lift your hands and let's praise Him right now, Jesus, because of Your Word. We take a stand against sin and against compromise. Oh God, give us strength. Give us an anointing, God, that we would walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. God, help us to maintain a love for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The prophet said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. So many trying to decide. So many with their minds not made up. And while they're there, eternity comes knocking on the door. Oh God, what scares me as a preacher is that I know the gospel is sufficient, and I know the Spirit is sufficient, and I'm convinced that God is present in this place. But what worries me is that the last agent that needs to say yes is standing right here in these pews. The gospel of Jesus Christ is able to set you free from the bondage of sin. The gospel of Jesus Christ is able to liberate you from the traditions of men. The gospel of Jesus Christ is able to give you a life that is worth living and it's full of joy. The gospel works, church. Brother DeLore, the gospel of Jesus Christ works. Brother Wadsworth, this gospel still saves. Standing in these pews are free moral agents given by the Creator Himself the ability and the opportunity to decide. To decide whose side you're on. Whose side you're on. Church, deep down within our spirits tonight, a decision must be made. I'm following Jesus Christ. The chorus that they're going to sing tonight, I have decided to follow Jesus, if I recognize the tune, was written at the bottom of my notes, and I meant to tell them, please sing this chorus at the end. I believe that this service is ordained by God to help somebody say, to the devil, I've made up my mind. I have made up my mind. I'm not a fly by night. I'm not a fair weather friend. I am here until the end. I am sold out. I have given all. I am not holding back. Some of us tonight are going to tell the sinfulness of our own flesh. I'm following Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? I am following Jesus Christ. I'm not going the way of the world. I'm not going to release my hold on Jesus Christ. They're going to sing a chorus, and I'm asking you, as Moses asked the congregation, who is on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side while they're singing this chorus, I want you to make your way from that pew. And I want you to come around the front of this church and make a statement to God. Cleanse me of my sins. Deliver me from my failures. I have decided. I have made up my mind. If you've been thinking about praying through the Holy Ghost, tonight is your night to decide that I'm going to pray until God fills me with the Holy Ghost. Tonight we make up our minds.